here I thought was from my voice, but a body, okay.
Morning. Welcome to worship this morning. And it is raining out, and it's going to keep raining, and it's going to keep raining, and that's okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the rain. I'm sure the sun will come out again soon. We will patiently wait for it. Well, as we come to worship this morning, I've just got a few announcements. You'll see most of them there on the back. The deacons are going to meet directly after church just for a few minutes to talk about communion next week. And then maybe there's something else on Harry's list. We'll see when we get there. And this JV football game or football meal, JV team, football team meal preparation is going to be taking place on October 9th. That's a new ministry for us. We're going to try that this year. And so if you're interested in helping with that in any way, Jeannie, where do you want to meet? Do you want to meet here? Do you want to meet here to talk about that if the deacons are here? Or do you want to meet across the street? What's that? Oh, you're with the deacons too. All right, well. Let's not do anything drastic. Well, that's fine. Why don't we have anybody that wants to do the JV meal or whatever, meet across the street real quick afterwards, okay? And then we'll have Harry up here with the deacons. And I'll figure out somebody to corral those JV meal guys. I've got a list over across the street, so maybe I'll run over and grab that, and we'll be talking about what we need and what time we need people on that. All right, so if you're interested, join us for that. Ladies' Fellowship, October 7th. It's not next Saturday, it's two Saturdays from now. And that'll be 11 to 1 down at Mary's parents' house, down at Jane and Jane's house. Light lunch will be provided, so come for that. They're going to be doing a craft, maybe to help us with this JV meal. So if you have an idea of something that they could do, let Mary know. Thanks again for everybody that made the yard sale giveaway and the soup sale, the bake sale, a huge success. You'll see the monies there. I know they're still getting a little bit of money brought in for the yard giveaway, so that's at least $1,530. That's all going to be sent to Samaritan's Purse as they minister to the fire victims in Maui. And then you'll see that the even after expenses, the bake sale and the soup sale netted $1,445, more or less. And boy, that's just a huge blessing for the Ladies' Fellowship. They're going to be putting that into their coffers and using it at their discretion over the next couple years or the next year, whatever. They haven't decided what they're going to do with it yet, and they don't need to, but they have that for their use. Don't forget, we will be celebrating communion next Sunday, so take some time this week just to prepare for that. Prepare your hearts just meditating upon what it means, the gospel means to you. What is it that Christ has done for you so that you're prepared for communion next week? For our update on our prayer list, Penny Helmick has got some appointments this week, some just routine. She's going to start some treatments again. She's doing, I thought I heard a week on and a week off, and this is one of her weeks of treatment, and that treatment starts Thursday. So be praying for Penny. LaRue bruised her hip. And so it's nothing broken or anything, but she's going to be off for a couple of weeks as she's kind of homebound, supposed to be keeping as much weight off of her leg as possible. So just be praying for LaRue that healing would take place quickly. And Ed Klein's grandson, Quentin, it turns out he's got some sort of heart condition. They're not exactly sure what's going on. It's like his heart is not quite beating in sync. So he's probably going to be fitted with a heart monitor. I think it's called a halter, right? But a heart monitor for a week or so, and just to try to figure out what's going on with him. He's only 5 or 6, and so it's not the news that a parent would like to hear. So be praying for Crystal and the family as they try to figure out what's going on with Quentin's heart. That's all the stuff that I have. Is there any other announcements or prayer requests that didn't make the bulletin this week? Oh, and so we've been following the Eukaryote Christian Academy's buying of the Ehlers School, and they closed Thursday morning. So the person that's buying the building officially owns it now, and so now they're able to go over there and start doing some cleanup and different things, but that's just a huge praise. So just be praying for them as, again, they start to figure out how to get in there before Christmas. But again, a huge praise that that's taking place. Well, you'll see that we have our jar out this morning for our home missions offering. So take a minute to just drop some money in there. Again, we tend to use this mostly for our local missions. Somebody comes in need of electric bill or a phone bill or a gas bill. Winter's coming. We know we're going to have some of those needs. So we're gathering some money together so we're able to help, groceries, different things like that. So just say hi to everybody. Say hi to one another this morning. Drop some money in there, and then we'll start worship in a moment. Let's just take a moment to quiet our hearts before the Lord and just remind ourselves that the Lord longs for us to be in His presence, right? He desires for us, to come into His presence and worship Him so that we can learn more about His love for us. Let's stand together and hear the Lord call us into worship together as His people, worshiping Him with one spirit and one voice. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 31 says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Let's pray. Father God, as we come into Your presence, we do proclaim to the world around us and to ourselves that You reign. You reign over all sovereignly, majestically, mightily, boldly, mercifully, Lord, and lovingly. And so as we come into your presence, remind us of those things and accept our worship through the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 354 as we sing, "Are Ye Able?" Said the Lord. 354. seated. Grab your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. This is going to be our scripture reading this morning. If you're looking in your pew Bible, just turn to page 1169. If you're grabbing your own Bible, turn back to the back into the letters. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So if you find Thessalonians or Timothy, move to the left. If you find Ephesians, move to the right. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. The title in our pew Bible here is that you are alive in Christ. Here, let's hear what the Apostle Paul says to us this morning. He says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. What a great message in that passage, that your debt, your sins have been nailed to the cross and dealt with at the burial of Christ. And now that He is raised from the dead, you too are raised in new life. We're going to look at another passage similar to that in Romans 6 here in a minute. I want you to be warmed up to that idea that your sin has been canceled, its debt paid, and you have been given new life. Well, that new life also gives us the ability, the boldness to come into the very throne room of heaven, crying out to God our Father, calling Him Daddy, and asking Him to hear our prayers, knowing that He will. If He didn't spare His only Son for us, then we know that He will not give us or not spare every good thing for us. Let's go to Him now and ask Him in our own hearts and through my voice to answer the prayers of His people and to glorify Himself in doing that. Let's pray. Lord, we do come into Your presence grateful that You have given us the opportunity to boldly come in to the very Holy of Holies and present our request before You. And so, Lord, we do just lay Quentin before You, Lord, this young boy whose heart is acting strange, so strange that even the doctors are not exactly sure at this point what the problem is or how to proceed. And so we would ask for hidden things to be revealed. Lord, that has been our prayer, and You have answered, and we ask it again. We pray that this heart monitor would do its work, would reveal whatever the issue is that's going on, and that the doctors would be able to take that information and act wisely and prudently and quickly. And Lord, it may be that their diagnosis will be that he may grow out of it. And so if that's the case, then we pray that he would. Lord, we know that no matter what's going on, You are a God who holds every heartbeat in Your hand. And so we would ask, Lord, that You would be working to make his heart beat regularly. Watch over his parents and his grandparents, Lord, as they deal with this Help them to be a comfort to Quentin and an encouragement to him. Lord, in all of these things, we just pray that you would be glorified in the answers that you give. Lord, we lift up Penny Helmick, and she goes back in for some treatment and some testing. And Lord, we just are so thankful for the answered prayers for her and the way that you have carried her through this. And we just ask you to carry her along even now. Lord, we think of neighbors. Neighbors who have been given the worst news, Lord, that death is near. And so we just pray that you would carry along the Lance family, you know, as they minister to their wife and mother, Alice. And Lord, we just lift her up to you, and we pray that you would be a great comforter and encourager to her as she deals with this news. Lord, we know that she would have the longest life possible. And so we ask for that on her behalf, that you would carry her along in each and every day that you have planned for her, and that even now you'd be preparing her to meet you. Lord, we thank you for her testimony of faith, and we pray that that would be a testimony that would ring true in her family and have a profound effect upon them. It has as she's faced life. We pray that it would be as she faces death as well. Lord, there's lots of other prayer requests on our list. You know what every person needs. You know LaRue needs healing. You know that Seth needs healing. You know that Wendell needs healing. Lord, you know that Charlie needs healing. Lord, you know that Pat needs healing. And so we pray that the healing that's begun would continue. Lord, we do especially just praise you for Pat. Lord, you have been preparing those doctors for that surgery for months, preparing Pat for that surgery for months, and all along knowing that it wouldn't be as troublesome or as severe as it was. And so, Lord, we just praise you for that and for the way that they didn't have to be as invasive as they thought they might have, and so that recovery may go a little quicker, Lord, or at least easier. And so now we just pray that Pat would have patience as he follows the doctor's advice and heals in the right time. Lord, you have been so gracious to answer our prayers. And so we lift these up to you, and we pray that, again, we would see your answers so that we can praise you more. And not only let us see these answers, but let us speak of the answered prayers to those around us, that they too would know that we have a God who hears and responds and works for our good. Lord, it's one thing to be praying for these things that affect us so closely and things where we can go to the doctor and get them fixed, but Lord, there are things going on in the world that are beyond us. Things going on in the world where we feel like we can have so little impact. And yet, Lord, we know that you would have us have impact. So we would ask that you would use the money that we're sending to the Samaritan's Purse to spread the gospel in Maui. And that the work that Samaritan's Purse does there would be a great blessing to those that are receiving it. Lord, we want people to see Jesus at work, and so we ask that you would make that so. Lord, we think of the Amazing Grace Food Bank and the way that they work in the community, Lord. Continue to bless them with the things that they need. Lord, help the community to know how to support them, whether it's through finances or donating of food or going to help out individually. Lord, we want the gospel to go out through Amazing Grace to a community that is needy. And so we thank you for the opportunity to partner with them, and we pray that our partnership with them would be an encouragement to them. Lord, we think of our government, a government that needs wisdom to know how to deal rightly with the world. And right now, Lord, it seems like in many cases it is hard to find wisdom. And so we would ask that your wisdom would fall on our leaders in a way that would encourage them to work for the right end, the good end, the perfect end. That their desire would be to work for the good of people. Or that is your call to leaders, to be servant leaders that would work for the good of people. And so we ask that that would be true for our leaders and for the leaders of every country in the world. Lord, none of that will happen without the work of your Spirit. We know your Spirit is able. We pray that you would send your Spirit to change the hearts of men and women, that they would be able to lead rightly before you. Lord, that's been a prayer before. It will certainly be a prayer in the future, because we are united with the past and the present and the future. And so, Lord, let us unite ourselves together again as we recite the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 426 as we can continue our prayer for the Lord's Spirit to work by praying this song as we sing it, Rescue the Perishing. Only the Lord is able to rescue the perishing. Let's ask him to do that now. You can remain seated. Hymn number 426. Lord is able and willing. He will save. We're told that he will complete the work that he has begun. Well, as we come to an opportunity now to give to the Lord just a tithe of what he's giving back to us, I would encourage you to do it thankful for the rain, the sign of his provision, that he will continue to water the earth so that we will have the things that we need to live and to live for Him. So I'd ask the ushers to come forward. Let's stand together for the doxology. Father God, again, we acknowledge just how gracious you are by bringing this portion back into your presence to give to you as a sign of our love, as an acknowledgement of your grace, and as a desire, Lord, to see you glorified here in Highview and across the globe. So we pray, Lord, that you would use this for your glory and give us eyes to see you working. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to be somewhere where there was a multitude of singers singing, and maybe you were part of them. But boy, what a great time that will be when we are with a multitude, right? Millions of voices singing the praises of the Lord. Won't it sound fantastic? Well, we're looking at the life and theology of the Apostle Paul. And last week, we talked about the idea of being justified, justified by grace, declared righteous before him. And that comes with some responsibilities, and that's the idea of sanctification, right? That we are going to not just be justified legally, but we are going to be made more and more holy, more and more like Jesus. That's kind of the idea today is looking at what Paul has to say about sanctification and living the Christian life. So turn to Romans chapter 6. Hopefully you're finding your way in Romans now. We're using Romans a lot as we deal with Paul because that's kind of his, you know, his fullest book on theology and doctrine. Romans chapter 6 in your pew Bible, it's page 1120. You know, as I open this part, I want you to think about the transfiguration. And hopefully you know that story. Like, it's in Mark and Luke. In Mark chapter 9, Mark records the transfiguration of Jesus. You know, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John onto a high mountain, and he is transfigured before them, right? His glory is revealed to them. Now, it's not that Jesus changed. I want you to understand that. It's not that Jesus changed who he was, right? He was the same before the transfiguration, during the transfiguration, and after the transfiguration, both God and man in one person all that time. He didn't change, but instead he allowed, right, the disciples to see him for who he really was. Right, that glory was hidden inside him, and he was letting it out, letting them see something, revealing something that was already true. Right? It was already true about him. In Romans 6, as Paul thinks about this idea of sanctification, the outworking of justification, he's really revealing something that's already true about you, if you're a Christian. Already true about a Christian. You are, or I should say, when you're united to Christ, you are a new creature. Now, I know it doesn't look that way, right? From the outside, it doesn't really look that way, but Paul knows that transformation is true. Now, there is a little tension here between what theologians call the already and the not yet, right? You are already transformed into a new creature, and yet not yet, right? You're there, but you're also growing there. You're sanctified, completely holy in Christ, and yet being sanctified along life's way. Now, there is this process, and he knows, Paul, that it's going to take some time, right? So as we look at Paul's teaching on sanctification and Christian living, I'm going to do it under the heading of rooted deeper, growing stronger. Do you recognize that, right? That's going to be our new slogan, our new theme or whatever, rooted deeper and growing stronger. And actually, it shouldn't be long before you start seeing people wearing shirts around that say that. Our first order's in. Maybe we're going to get it on the 29th. We'll see. It's so exciting, right? But before they arrive, I want you to understand what our slogan means. And just how so happens, it really it ties into this theme that Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 6, right? That we are rooted deeper and we are growing stronger. We are buried with Christ in his death, and we're growing into this new creature. God is sanctifying you, making you more like Jesus, making you stronger by teaching you what it means that you are united to Christ in his death and resurrection. Rooted deeper, growing stronger, it's not something we're doing, right? It's something God is doing in us. And when we see those words, we get to understand that rooted deeper and growing stronger is something God is doing in us. So let's pray that we would see that this morning. Lord, as we open up Romans 6, boy, so much going on there, Lord. And yet, there is this overarching theme that when we are in Christ, we are dead to sin and alive to Jesus. And so we pray that we would see that great work, that we would see what it means that you're doing that in us and for us, that we would just be able to trust in that, Lord, rooting ourselves deeper and deeper in the gospel and growing stronger in our faith. And so we pray that we would see that in Romans 6, Lord. Amen. Well, again, you know, whenever you're talking about Romans, you know, to know where we are, to be able to read it in context, I need to give you a little background about what led up to Romans 6. Paul's been arguing that we're saved by grace and by grace alone. That we're saved by grace and grace alone, apart from works. Works play no part in salvation. And we know that that's his argument because he's going to actually answer the objection to his argument. The objection, you see, to being saved by grace alone, apart from works, is this. If God saves by grace alone, and we don't have to do anything good, and nothing we do can affect that, then of course, we can just go on sinning and God will save us, right? And Paul says, no, not right. And he goes on to explain why in the text before us. Right, so we're saved by grace, but we're going to see that this grace, although it has its effects, right, we still grow in our ability to understand it. Well, here's what I want us to see this morning, that being rooted in Christ means you are at the same time radically changed and you're being radically changed. Transformed by your experience of this radical change, will be deepened over time. You will grow in that over time. Like our new slogan, right? It points to, I want it to point us to what a life in Christ looks like. So when people say to you, what does it mean that you're rooted deeper, growing stronger? You'll have an answer for them. Rooted deeper means being united to him more fully in his death and resurrection. Freed, as Paul's going to say in a second, we're going to read, from the tyranny of sin. So that you no longer have to let sin reign in your body. It also means that you're growing stronger, right? You're growing stronger and increasing your faith in that truth that you are dead with Christ and alive in him. You're growing stronger in your ability to submit to his rule. And of course, that will lead to a display of the fruit of righteousness in your life. And we're going to see at the very end that there's an end to all of this, and we'll get there. So let's just read the first 14 verses as we look at what it means to be rooted deeper in Christ. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Being rooted in Christ means we are united to Him in His death and His resurrection. United in His death means that your sin has been dealt with, like we read in Colossians, right? It's been nailed to the cross. Its legal demand dealt with once and for all. Dealt with completely. The death of Christ was sufficient for that. It worked. And when you're united to Him in your baptism, you are buried with Him, the apostle says. And so is your sin, right? You see that picture there? You're buried with Him. He was buried for our sin. Our sin was buried with Him. Every sin, every harsh word, every lie, every hateful or lustful thought, every sinful deed, those times you didn't honor your father or mother, dealt with. Those times you didn't love your wife like Christ loved the church, dealt with. Every time you didn't respect your husband, dealt with. Every time you didn't love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, or soul, dealt with. When you think of yourself united to Christ, rooted in Him, right? Do you picture yourself that way? That your sin has been dealt with completely, everyone, buried with Him. Do you believe that you've been raised with Christ to new life, raised in His resurrection? The apostle tells us here that we will have a resurrected body like the Lord's. Do you picture yourself that way? Dead now to the tyranny of sin and alive now to the righteousness of God. That's what it means to be rooted deeper in Christ. To be rooted deeper in that doctrine that your sin has been dealt with. Our slogan is not just a bunch of catchy words, but a reminder of the deepest meaning of the doctrine of the gospel. Jesus Christ saves sinners. Right? Jesus Christ saves sinners. And when I am in Him, when you are in Him, you are dead to sin and set free to live for God. I don't want to be unrealistic here, right? I'm not saying this is easy. Oh, well, now that you're saved, you're just a saint, never do anything wrong. No. Each day, every one of us still struggles with sin. My encouragement this morning is for you to realize that being rooted deeper in Christ is what allows you to fight the good fight. To fight against sin. You know, if you grow a tree inside, like, you know, maybe you've seen a tree like in the mall, right? So that the tree doesn't experience any storms in life, no heavy rain, especially no strong wind. You know, the root system will actually be weak. It won't have the same root system that a tree out in the storms of life would have. You see, the wind, the effects of wind over time on a tree is it prepares those roots, right, for more growth. So as a tree grows, those roots grow deeper. As a tree grows, those roots spread out to support it, not just standing there, but when the storms come and the wind blows. You know, the enemy may be tempting you in the storms of life to turn away from God, but God's desire is is for you to draw closer to Him in those storms, to root your roots deeper in Him, to put those roots down deeper in Him, closer to Him. Root yourself deeper in the call of the gospel. When the tempter wants to push you away from the gospel for sin, tell yourself, Jesus came to save sinners. Root yourself in that gospel call. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. You have been set free. Free to live as someone who is set free. Are you living as someone who's been set free? And let's be honest, how do we do that? Well, we do that by growing stronger in our faith. Growing stronger in Him and in that gospel call. Increasing your faiths. Growing in your ability to submit to His rule. Growing in your desire to display the fruit of righteousness. And Paul kind of says that here as we pick up verse 15. It says, what then, are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? Again, he says, by no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Growing is an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter what you're watching. You watch a child grow. You know, they go from like a helpless baby to a 4 or 5 year old that's running around everywhere they go, to a teenager who's driving their own car, to a married adult that has their own baby. I mean, growth is amazing, but it doesn't happen overnight, does it? Growth doesn't happen overnight. No, it takes time, and the Christian life is just like that. It takes time. You have to grow stronger and stronger. It takes time to understand what happened to make you a Christian. It takes time to fully understand what's happening as you're living as a Christian. You have to grow stronger in Christ. And you know, in human terms, when I say that you're growing, I think what that we tend to think of is that means we're becoming more self-sufficient. Like even if you look at your, you know, that child analogy, right? They're becoming more and more self-sufficient, able to do more and more on their own. But in this passage, to grow stronger is really to admit your weakness. Because you're supposed to be growing stronger in your ability to submit yourself to God, to become, as Paul puts it, a slave to God. That growing is actually meant to show your weakness to the world, that your reliance is not on your own strength, but on the Lord's, becoming the Lord's slave. When we are saying in our slogan that we're growing stronger, we're not saying we're becoming more self-sufficient. Don't think that. We're not becoming more self-sufficient. We're saying we're becoming more dependent, dependent on God. We're growing stronger in our ability to be His servant, to submit to His purpose, to His plan, to His way of doing things. Growing stronger in Christ means growing in your willingness to submit to Him. Are you willing to stand out in the world this morning? Because growing stronger this way will make you stand out. You will look different when you submit to His way. You will think different when you submit to His will. You will talk differently when you display His righteousness. And you will live more joyfully when you understand His sovereignty over you is meant for your good. It will make you look different. But listen, what's really happening is that you are beginning to look like who God has already made you to be. Right? This idea of being rooted deeper and growing stronger is that you are supposed to be growing in your ability to look like who God has already made you to be. Someone set free from sin. Someone who's now a slave to righteousness. Growing stronger means displaying what is already true of you. Just displaying what is already true of you. And I hope that when you see the words growing stronger on your new shirt, you'll be reminded That growing stronger means you're growing stronger in your understanding of what God has already accomplished for you. He's already done this. Now he's just revealing it to you day by day. I want you to be working through this slogan, right? To know who you already are in Christ. And making that person more visible to the world around you. The words rooted deeper are meant to remind us of the good news of the gospel, right? Jesus saves sinners. We're rooted in that. And the words growing stronger are meant to encourage us to have faith that God is working that out in our lives on a daily basis. It's important for us as we move forward. It's important for every Christian as they move forward. Being rooted deeper and growing stronger is really just one way of saying we are dead to sin and alive to God, and we're striving to live that out. No longer slaves to the tyranny of sin. And listen, sin is a tyrant. Now we're free to live righteously before God. God is not a tyrant. We have been changed. We are being changed. All at the same time, the already and the not yet. And this can help us grow. I know some of you think, I'm done growing. Nope. If you're here, God's call for you is to continue to be growing. Rooting yourself deeper and growing stronger, it's a call to submit yourself to the Lord. Put your faith in His ability to change you, to transform you, to use you, no matter how old you are or how young you are, to use you to share the gospel. And there's an end here. And the end here is eternal life. Right? There's this transformation that's taking place inside of every believer that will come to fruition at the end where we will receive eternal life. It's hard to see this transformation on a daily basis. Now, we see that when especially grandparents have grandchildren. You know, the parents don't see that kid growing, but you don't see the child for 6 months, and then you get to see them, you're like, wow, they've grown so much. They're doing so many new things. That's how it is for us too. But the end that God has in store for us is eternal life. It's His plan working out by rooting us deeper in Him and causing us to grow in faith. I'm struck by this idea that God is really just revealing who we already are. Right? He's just revealing who we already are, set free from sin and united to Christ. God is the one rooting you deeper in Christ. God is the one growing you stronger in Him because He knows who you are. Right? He knows who you are. This is God's way of showing you who you already are. It's God's way of showing the world who you already are. It may look like a slow process, but even though it's slow, it will be completed. The guarantee was secured at the cross. So I want to encourage you this morning out of Romans 6 here to be dead to sin and alive in God, to be rooted in the gospel that Jesus Christ saves sinners, and then grow in faith that no matter what's going on in your life, that God has dealt with your sin and is growing you stronger. Look for God to cause your faith to grow stronger and stronger in Him as you root yourself in the gospel. And then live a life that's transformed by that. Live a life that's seeking to let people see who God has already made you to be, because you already are that person. Amen. Lord, we do pray that we would be rooted in the gospel. Such a simple statement, Lord, that Jesus saves sinners, and yet it has such long-lasting, far-reaching implications. Root us in the knowledge that Jesus saves sinners and that we are the ones that He's saving. And then grow our faith in that doctrine, that we could trust in it, that we would run to You. When sin would long to put us back under its tyranny, Lord, help us to grow in our ability to to run to the cross and to root ourselves even deeper in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together and close our time singing hymn number 258. Now I belong to Jesus. That's a statement that means now and forever. Now I belong to Jesus. Let's stand together. 258. Give the Lord's benediction. Now may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, now and forevermore. Amen.